This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
Tonight, I want to talk to you about something else we can render to the Lord. And it really has to do with worship, but I want to talk to you about the word glory before I talk to you about worship. Very seldom does the Lord instruct me on what he wants me to teach before I teach it a long time, when I don't even know I'm going to teach, especially. And he spoke this to me to teach on this subject several days ago before Pastor asked me to fill the pulpit for him tonight. And so I'm going to talk to you. I actually would entitle this The Weight of God's Glory. God has a glory about him, and I want to talk about it a little bit. You know, we worship tonight. I don't know if you enjoyed worship as much as I always enjoy worship. Our worship is incredible. I have some old friends. They don't go to this church, but they complain that the worship in their church is too loud. It can't get too loud for me. You know, we sit in the loudest place, right in the middle. And if it's too loud for you, don't sit there, because that's a really loud place, and we like it that way. I want it loud. I sing loud, and I want to hear loud. And you know, those, if you're here and you think worship is too loud, then don't go to heaven. Because if you think it's loud here, boy, it'll blow your head off in heaven. Because we don't know what loud is when we start worshiping till we get there. But we have a worship team that sets the stage for what Pastor brings us. Did you know that part of the work of worship, according to the Word of God, is to bring the anointing on the prophet? In the Old Testament, there's a story of kings that went out to war. And it was Jehoshaphat, and he said, and with one of the kings of Israel, and he said, is there a prophet that can tell us what God wants us to do? And so they went to a prophet, and the prophet said, well, I need to hear from the Lord, so I want you to bring me a skilled musician, not just any old musician, but a skilled musician. And the Bible says, as the musician played, the anointing of the Lord came on the prophet, and he began to prophesy. Now, I don't know if you know this. If you don't, I'm going to tell you now. We have skilled musicians. You can tell it, can't you? And we have something that I really didn't mean to preach about you tonight. But here we go. I happen to know this about Justin. Every song that comes across his desk, he checks it out to make sure it's scriptural. He and somebody mentioned a song to me that they thought we should sing. I had not heard it. I asked him if he'd heard it. He said, yeah, but it's not scriptural. And so I listened to it, and he was right. It wasn't scriptural. It was beautiful. It was a very beautiful song, but it just wasn't scriptural. So we have a worship leader that really, give him a hand clap, because he has blessed us. And I know God's going to bless him. So I want to talk to you a little bit about worship. But before that, I want to talk about glory. So the first scripture I want to look at is Isaiah 60, beginning with verse 1. And I'm going to do 1 and 2, and then I'm going to skip to the bottom. But Isaiah 60, verse 1 and 2 says this, arise. Now, this is from the Amplified Bible. Arise from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Arise to a new life. Shine. Be radiant with the glory of God. Let your light, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and dense darkness all the people. But the Lord shall arise upon you. And instead of, oh, Jerusalem, we could put in there, oh, Ark. And his glory shall be seen on you. Now, if you skip down to verse 18, it says, and you shall call your walls salvation and your gates praise. And I love verse 20. And the days of your mourning shall end. Is that wonderful? Now, I want to go back to the first before we talk about this. And notice it says, arise from your depression, prostration in which your circumstances have kept you. Rise to new life. A lot of times we come to church because we're depressed, things are going wrong, we're sick. I've discovered in teaching Bible studies over the years that many of the women that come to my Bible studies for the first few times come because they're going through something horrible. Maybe they're going through a divorce. Maybe they have. There was a lady in Bible study this morning in the memorial area who was there for the first time. She has cancer. She came because somebody told her we'd pray for her. Well, she's going to be back. I believe she's going to be healed. And I believe she's going to find a new place in Christ. But you've got to rise up. And what I want to challenge you to do, you know, there have been so many times. I remember when our family a few years ago was going through a really difficult time. And I used to stand by my daughter and my husband. And when Justin would begin to sing particular songs, the Lord would begin to speak to us. He would just speak to us through those songs. I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to bring you out of this. I'm going to turn this around. And it just so encouraged us. But we came with the attitude, we're not going to come in and let our circumstances overwhelm us. We're going to rise above our circumstances, and we're going to stand in the glory of God, and we're going to let the power of God deliver us. Now, that's what I want to challenge you to do. Now, you say, well, you just don't understand my circumstances. Well, let me share another scripture with you. This is a scripture where Paul is talking. It's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. And he's saying this in spite of his circumstances. Listen to this one. We do not become discouraged, spiritless, exhausted, or wearied through fear. Though our outer man is progressively decaying and wasting away, yet our inner self is being progressively renewed day after day. For our light, momentary affliction. Now I have to stop here because this is hilarious. His light, momentary affliction. Let me tell you, the guy was stoned until they thought he was dead. He was beaten several times. He was thrown in jail. And yet he said, my light, momentary affliction. This slight distress of the passing hours is ever more and more abundantly preparing and producing and achieving for us. Now look what it's achieving. An everlasting weight of glory beyond all measure, excessively surpassing all comparisons and all calculations, a vast and transcendent glory and blessedness never to cease. He says, I'm not going to look at my circumstances. I'm not going to look at what's happening on the outside. I know that my outer man is a natural man. And every one of us, if we live long enough, will die. Now think about that. I don't plan on dying until I'm 120. You may plan on dying sooner than that. But every one of us eventually will die. So our outer man, our natural man, is decaying. But our inner man, our spirit man, the part of us that's attached to God is being renewed day by day, and that's a glorious, glorious thing. You know, the first scripture said, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Did you know Jesus said that you are the light of the world? Jesus said that in Matthew chapter 5. He said, you are the light of the world. You are a city set on a hill. And he said, men never light a candle and put it under a bushel, but they put it on a lampstand so it can be seen. Now, when we think of a bushel, we think of a straw basket, don't we? But if you put a candle under a straw basket, it would not hide the light. It would make a bigger light because it would catch on fire. But if you study a little bit into the Bible history, you'll discover that really a better word there than basket would have been a clay pot. You don't hide your candle under a clay pot. Did you know that our body is referred to as a clay pot in the scripture? It's in, I have it written down here somewhere, it's in Corinthians. And it says, we hold this treasure in vessels of clay that the excellency might be of the Spirit and not of ourselves. So what is he saying? We need to let our light shine. We need not to hide it under our natural man, our clay pot. We need to break that off and let the spirit man come out and worship God. And every person in this building, if you have been born again, if you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have the Spirit of God inside you. Yes, Give the Lord a hand clap. You have the potential for the glory of God to rise upon. You know, what does it do? I mean, he says you're like a city on a hill. There's an example, another example in the Old Testament. This is found in Judges chapter 7 about Gideon. He had 300 guys, and the strategy God gave them for battle gives us a beautiful picture of what happens for us when we allow the power of God to burst through in our life. When we learn to let the glory of God dominate and control in our life, what happens to us? They all had a little candle, a little light, a little torch of some kind, and they had a clay pot over it. And they surrounded the enemies, the Midianites. They surrounded their camp. And when Gideon gave the signal, he blew a trumpet and he said, "For the Lord of Israel." And they broke their clay pots. And when they broke their clay pots, now there were only 300 of them. Who knows how many Midianites there were? But they were on a hill. They were in an exalted place. They were like a city on a hill. And when the Midianites heard the sound of the trumpet and looked up, they saw lights all around them. And you know, it terrified them, so they destroyed themselves. Now you say, what does that have to do with me? Well, the enemy will get so confused when he sees light all around him that he will just completely leave you alone and stumble and fall and destroy himself. We need to learn to worship God effectively. We need to learn to let the glory of God that's inside us come up on us. For the glory of the Lord has risen up on you. Say, it's in me. Say it again. It's in me. The glory of God is in me. Well, where was I? I left my notes. Well, what is the glory? What is the glory? I love this scripture. It says this. Christ, this is Colossians 1:27. I like just the last line. Christ in you is the hope of glory. The hope of glory. Hope is expectation. So Christ actually is a title. It means the anointed one. So the anointing of the anointed one. Now, what was Jesus anointed with when he was on the earth? The Holy Spirit. So the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, according to Ephesians, is in you in chapter 1. He's in you, and that anointing is in you, and that should give you an expectation to manifest the glory of God. But what is the glory? In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word used is chabad, C-H-A-B-A-D, chabad. And let me just read you what it means. It means weightiness. You remember I told you I was going to talk about the weight of His glory? Weightiness. And it means it's substantial, it's heavy, it's glorious. It means honor, splendor, power, wealth, authority, magnificent, fame, dignity, riches, and excellency. Wow. Those are all things that describe God. You know, when we really learn to get into God's presence and to begin to really experience God, people really will see Him on you. They really will see a glow about you. It may not be exactly like Moses. You know, when Moses went up on the mountain and he actually encountered God, when he came down, his face was glowing so that the people said, "Oh, man, we can't stand to be around you. Put a veil over your face." That's in Exodus chapter 34, if you want to read about that. And there are other places in the Bible. When angels appear, you know, angels are always glowing, aren't they? Well, do you think God puts lights in angels? No, I don't think He does. You know what I think? You know why I think angels glow? Because when you're in the presence of God, you absorb His glory. You absorb His glory. So when they appear on earth, they seem to glow because they've been in the presence of God. And can humans do the same thing? Well, Moses says they can. Moses would say, "Oh yeah, get in the presence of God. Really move into a love relationship with God. Spend some time with Him and see what happens to your face. See if you don't have a glow of God about you." 2 Corinthians 3:17 and 18 is really interesting, and it gives us some insight into the glory and how we could. I think there are two basic ways that I want to talk to you about experiencing the glory of God, and this is the first one. 2 Corinthians 3:17 and 18 says, "God is a spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, emancipation from bondage and freedom. And all of us, with an unveiled face, because we continually behold in the Word of God, as in a mirror, the glory of God, we are constantly being transfigured into His own image. Now look what happens to us. This is from the Word of God. In ever-increasing splendor and from one degree of glory to another. But this comes from the Lord who is a Spirit. Wow, that is the most powerful verse. You just need to meditate on that verse and let the Lord really show you the length and depth and height of that verse. It's telling us that one way we can experience God's glory is through the Word of God. That's why it's so important that you hear the Word of God. You know, there are a lot of people that read the Word of God, but they don't even know what they're reading. And there's a lot of ministers that come and they get in the pulpit and they take a little half of a verse and build a whole. You won't hear that here. When you come here, it doesn't matter whether our senior pastor's in the pulpit or one of our associate pastors is in the pulpit. I can promise you, you will hear the Word of God. And you will hear it taught to you, hopefully in a way that you can understand. If you ask me, what is the greatest thing you desire for the people that you teach? When you teach people, when you share the Word, what is the thing you want for them more than anything else? I really thought about that, especially in the last few days as I was thinking about what the Lord wanted me to share. If I could only give you one thing, beyond salvation, of course, and telling you how to get saved, the most important thing I would want for you is to teach you how to have a love relationship with God. Not to be afraid of Him, but to reverence Him, to love Him, and to allow Him to love you. Because when that happens in your life, when God draws you into His glory, when you begin to be surrounded by His glory, if you could ever, those of you who have never experienced feeling the presence of God, oh, I pray that God would allow you to feel His presence. It's glorious. It's glorious. It's wonderful. It's simply wonderful. Experiencing God's glory in the life of a believer is progressive. What do you mean? Well, the longer you know Him, the more you pursue Him, the more of His glory you will experience. You will begin to feel His presence, His weightiness. You know, there's a scripture. I don't have the reference for it. Read the whole Old Testament and you'll find it. But when Solomon was dedicating the temple, it's in either Kings or Chronicles. When Solomon, 2 Kings or 2 Chronicles, David is the first. Anyway, read the whole thing. When Solomon was dedicating the temple, the Bible says that a cloud filled the room. That'd be kind of interesting, wouldn't it? If we looked up and there was a cloud and we think, did Justin do something weird? That's the first thing we would think. A cloud filled the temple. It says the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And you know what happened? Everybody in the place fell down. Fell flat down. You know, the book of Revelation, I just taught the book of Revelation. Over 7 times, the book of Revelation takes you to heaven. Over 7 times. And every time you're taken to heaven, There's some guys that are there. These 24 elders are there. And these 24 elders, every time that you see them in heaven, you see music, you see worship, and you see these guys falling flat down on their face. I get amused when I read it. I can't wait to meet these guys. They can't stand up in God's presence. But probably neither could we. Neither could we. I don't know if you've ever fallen. That's happened to me a few times. Probably the most significant time that I ever fell under the glory of God was in 1984. And I was in Washington, D.C. leading worship for a women's conference. And the keynote speaker was a guy who was totally unknown at the time named Benny Hinn. And he got up. I had led worship. I'd sat down. I'd had cancer surgery a couple of months before that. This was really my first ministry assignment after I had that surgery for malignancy. And he got up and he said, "The Lord tells me to blow on you." And he blew in the microphone, which is not a good thing to do. No. And I knew it wasn't a good thing to do. But when he blew in the microphone, over half the people who were standing in that auditorium fell back in their chairs. And I'm on the platform looking at this. And the lady sitting next to me, his name was Dee Jepson. She worked for the White House. And I leaned over and I said, oh, God, forgive me for this. But this is what I said. Power of suggestion. About that time, he said, Billy. Oh, did he hear what I said? Am I in trouble? He didn't even know my name, to my knowledge. He said, come here. I had on a beautiful black dress. I will never forget. I don't know if you know this, but this platform is pretty clean. But normally, if you're in an auditorium, the platform can be decorated beautifully, but the floor will be filthy. And he called me, and he said, come here. And I stood before him, and he said, I remember his exact words. He took his hand, and now the tumor that was removed from my body was right here. It was in the upper left side of my colon. He said, I see the fire of God whirling in your abdomen. I see the fire of God burning up disease in your abdomen. Wow. And when I woke up, I was on the floor. I didn't feel myself fall. I didn't feel myself hit the floor. I just woke up and I was in the presence of God, and I could hardly get up. They had to help me up. You know, you may be critical of him, and I may have been too if that hadn't happened to me, but I'm not at all critical of people that fall when he prays for them, because it happened to me. Well, you say, are we going to all fall? Maybe. It was a glorious thing. It was a marvelous thing. It gave me confidence that, yes, I'd been healed. Yes, the Lord had taken care of that cancer. Yes, it would never come back. The glory of God. The glory of God. It's progressive. It'll come through the Word. Listening to the Word, reading the Word, meditating on the Word will cause you to go from one degree of glory to another degree of glory. And it's from God. And what do you mean by from one degree of glory to another? I mean your spirit man is going to get stronger and stronger and stronger. And your faith is going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. But it's not just from the Word. It also comes through thanksgiving and worship. It comes through thanksgiving and worship. Now, you know, we get into the presence of God progressively. The Lord has given us the progression to get into his presence. And he uses music as a vehicle. Music carries worship. It's a vehicle that carries worship. And so when the right music, when the anointing of the Lord is on the musicians, when the musicians are directing the music toward you, and you're receiving it from the Lord, there's a progression that comes. And God loves music. He created music. Heaven is filled with music. He wants your heart to be filled with music. He wants you to worship him. He wants you to worship him. Psalms 100 verse 4 is I use it a lot when I'm teaching on worship, because it gives us a little bit of the progression into God's presence. When we come to church, we are normally pretty self-centered. You may not be, but most people are self-centered. And so when we come to church, usually our mind is on ourselves. How hard it was to get here. What the weather was like, what the traffic was like, how hard it was to get dressed. We're in a hurry. Are we going to get our seat? Are we going to get to sit in the right place? Who's preaching today? Oh, no, pastor's not there, and it's that woman again. Lord, forgive them for having that thought. And then the music starts. Now, listen to what David wrote. He said, enter his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise. Now, you know what thanksgiving does? Thanksgiving turns your thoughts away from you and your needs and your problems. When you begin to give thanks, it turns your attention away from yourself and toward God. And there's a natural progression there where you will go from self-centeredness to God-centeredness, and automatically then praise comes forth. Now, what is praise? Praise is a celebration of the acts of God. It's what God has done. So we go from our testimony songs of thanksgiving and praise, we go into just songs about how great God is, what he's done. He's a conqueror. He's our king. He's the great one. It's all about him. You know, David didn't talk about the holy place when he wrote that psalm. You know why? He couldn't go in the holy place. He couldn't go there. Only the high priest could go there. So he didn't talk about the holy place. Because David couldn't get in the holy place. But we can. Because when Jesus died on the cross, there was an earthquake. And the Bible says the veil that separated us from the holy place, the holy of holies, was ripped from the top to the bottom. So now we can go from the gates to the courts to the holy place right into God's presence. Well, what do we do when we get in God's presence? Then we sing to God. When you get in God's presence, you sing to God. Praise will take you into the courts, but worship is love expressed toward God. If there are a couple of scriptures that I think define worship, and I think Romans 12:1 does it best. It says this, I urge you, in view of God's mercies, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, which is your reasonable and proper worship. That's the NIV. So, I just want to share with you. I can remember times when the Lord has said to me, I want you to quit talking about what you need. I want you to talk about what I need. And then you have to think, what does God need? What does God need from us? What's the first commandment? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with everything that is in you. You shall love the Lord your God. If you read through the Revelation and you read the different worship that's coming forth, the songs that are coming forth in heaven, they all talk about how wonderful God is, how he's delivered us, how we love you, Lord. You are worthy to receive praise. Love songs to the Lord. Finally, let me share with you what worship has the potential to do for you. Worship, that intimacy with God, is a call for you to come up higher, to come up to a higher place, and to see more clearly. I want you to know, when you get into God's presence and you begin to just tell God how much you love him, you say, well, I don't sing. Well, you don't have to sing. You could just do it in your prayer time. Just begin to quit focusing on what you need and throw away your list for a little while and just take a little time to tell God how much you love him, how wonderful he is to you, because it will take you to a higher place and it will open the eyes of your understanding so you can see more clearly. Here's the next thing it will do. Worship will open the way for God's will to be manifested in your life. Been pursuing God's will? Start worshiping him more. The more you worship, the more into the center of God's will you will become. The more glory will begin to surround you. The more you'll begin to reflect the power of God in your life, in your everyday life. Not just in church, not just on Sunday, but everywhere you go. You'll begin to hear his voice saying, why don't you do this? Because you're so close to him, you can hear him when he whispers. That's what God wants. Worship will break all resistance to your promise. Been believing God for something? Something been keeping that? Does there seem to be some resistance there keeping you from breaking through to what you need from God? Begin to worship. It'll break the resistance. Worship will break the resistance. And finally, worship is a trumpet calling to transcend, to rise above all restrictions that may be holding us down. Nothing can hold us back from the purpose and plan of God for our life when we learn to truly worship him in spirit and in truth. What does that mean? Worshiping from your spirit, but also worshiping with your natural man in reality, so you can see. Let everything you do be a worship to God, but especially take time to worship him. Bow your heads for a minute. You may be here tonight and you say, Billy, I'd love to worship the Lord, but I'm not even sure I know the Lord. I'm not even sure that the Lord is the Lord of my life. I really would like to receive him tonight to be my Lord and Savior. If that's you, I'd like to pray with you. I won't call you up here. I won't embarrass you. We're just going to all pray together. But I'd like to see your hand if that's you. Are you here tonight and you need to make Jesus the Lord of your life? Just all over the building, I'm glancing to see if I can see any hands. Well, you may all be born again, or there may be a few of you that need to pray that prayer, but are you here and you say, you know, I know the Lord. I know I'm born again, but I'm not where I should be. And I would like for you to pray for me. I would like to rededicate my life to the Lord. Is that you? Just raise your hand in the air so I can see it. Oh, I see those hands all over the building. We're going to pray right now. I want to end tonight in a very special way, but right now we're going to say a prayer. Maybe you didn't raise your hand. You wish you did, but you didn't. You don't have to raise your hand. God sees your heart. We're going to pray this with you. We're going to all pray it together. And as we pray this prayer, I believe the Lord is going to restore you, renew you. And if you've never been born again, the Holy Spirit is going to plunge you into the body of Christ and let that Spirit come alive in you. Pray with me. Oh God, I know mankind needs a Savior, and I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins, and God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.